Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
Sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know what? I don't want to be Debbie Downer, especially here. I just feel like what we saw here was the best the Blues have. I don't think we saw that with the Bruins. So my point being, as detrimental it would be to have a guy like that out of the lineup, I think you're going to see a whole new different Boston team in Boston. So does this Blues team have another level? I don't know. This was the best I've seen so far.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can they crank it up again? I hope so. I hope these two just keep battling out because I want this thing to go the distance.
Mike Rupp on NHL Network talking about where things stand in this series. The cup final between the Bruins and the Blues. Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Make sure you get to 98.5thesportshub.com. That's where you can stream us. Download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Get all the latest coverage of the Stanley Cup final. And, of course, stream us. Make sure you stream us. Always take us wherever you go. And you can always get the unedited version of the show. You listen live through the website. Mike Rupp says, well, what you saw in St. Louis in Game 4, that's the best you're going to see of this St. Louis team. That's it. They've peaked. And you're going to see a much better team when this series shifts back to Boston for Game number 5. Dan, agree or disagree?
I would agree with that point, and it's a good point. I think that the Bruins, we know we haven't seen their best because the top line guys haven't had breakout games. The wingers are killing them, those kinds of things that we've seen. And I think that Boston has more skill, more speed. And that's what worries me, is that all the size and heavy hitting of the St. Louis team, that the longer this goes, Beadle, they keep taking out guys, that works against you. But you have to feel that, you know, Bergeron, Krejci, Marchand, you know, they're going to get some goals.
I mean, you do. You think that. And Game 3, we thought we were going to see that. We thought that in Game 3... you know, it was the breakout game. And I had even said before Game 3, if you look at the playoff numbers, you look at the way that the playoffs have trended for the Bruins, the top line has broken out in the later games of this series. Games 4, 5, 6, and 7 of when this line has broken out. So you got to wait one more. Well, they did it in Game 3, and then they didn't do it in Game 4. I know that they did have the shorthanded goal, you know, with Bergeron and Marchand out on the ice. I get that, but still. They've now got to turn it on because now it's do or die.
Yeah, the overtime game they won, and then of course the other night was the best. I agree with Rupp. That's the best they've looked. That does it full. You know, when St. Louis gives it to you, that's the best it looks, and they barely won in overtime, and they barely won in that third period.
I mean, but I do. I have this faith. I have this faith in the Bruins' top lines.
No kidding.
In the top six, and even though David Krejci has been a no-show in the series, and the top six forwards have 0 points in 5-on-5 play. None. No points across the board. I've got a faith in those players and in this team that it's going to happen for them starting tomorrow night in this series against the Blues, because they are more skilled. They are more talented. They are the better team in this series, that the floodgates are going to open. And when they do, the Blues will pay the price and the Bruins will win the series. And I'm with Mike Rupp. I think it's a good take. Yep. The Blues, they peaked in Game 4. That's the best game they will have played in this series.
Well, that's what's weird. I mean, the Bruins won Game 3 7-2, and the two that they've lost, if they had won either of them, they would have really stolen the game. I mean, they could be up 3-1 and thinking of finishing it off if they had just closed out better in either of those games. They were gassed at the end of both games. No question.
I mean, you watch that 7-2 game, and we all watched it, and we loved it, and we enjoyed the hell out of it. But when we watched a 7-2 Bruins win, I mean, part of us all felt like the Blues were giving this to them.
Yes.
Right? That wasn't some sort of complete, total, you know, show of domination. The Bruins played a good game. No one's saying that they didn't. They outplayed their opponent.
They were 4-for-4 on power plays with four shots.
Yeah, four shots, Dan. I mean,
that was pretty ridiculous.
Right? Okay, so you can't tell me you go 4-for-4 on a power play on four shots and it's all you. You can't. I won't buy that. I refuse to believe that. No, nobody's that good. Nobody is that good.
Yeah.
So I just think that the Bruins have a lot more that they've yet to show in this series, and I have a faith in this team because we know this team's better than this.
But
we know
physicality,
the Bruins have not played their best hockey yet, and that doesn't have to do with the physicality.
Well, they are beating the crap out of you, and if it continues and you keep losing guys, I mean, their strategy clearly is to take people out.
Yeah.
Now, Chara being out has nothing to do with their strategy. That was bad luck. That happened. Greslick's another story. And the other, you saw him run at Pastrnak in Game 3, and he flipped a guy right out of the gate. They ran at Backes in the first minute of Game 4. They're trying to get people off the ice. And they're beating the crap out of you. That's all they got.
Yeah, I felt like the game four hits, the one against Backes, that to me felt like a dirty hit. You're going up high on a guy. The one that Braden Schenn tried to hit Pastrnak on felt like someone trying to make a dirty hit. I felt like things got a little dirtier in game four than they were in
this
the previous
game. This is what
game.
They're being trained and taught. Their coach, he wasn't a dirty player, but from all accounts, I didn't watch him on a daily basis, but he's seventh in penalties in history of the game.
He's a goon.
Yeah, okay. And I think that they know that this is their best chance to win, and they're going to use that.
They've taken too many things in their hands,
too. That's what they did in the last series. Yeah. They did in the Western Conference Finals. Yeah. They took out three guys in that series.
Freaking Perron getting in the face. I mean, there's too many things that they've pushed the envelope on.
We might see a fight tomorrow night.
I hope.
In the first period. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't seen that. So look for that tomorrow, first period.
I don't know that benefits the Bruins, depending on who gets dragged into that.
Right,
I know, and that was the beauty of Game 3. They didn't get dragged into it.
You know, if some third or fourth liner on the St. Louis Blues fights, you know, someone on the Bruins, I mean, who wins that? Third and fourth line has been garbage.
You got to show early, though, you're not going to get pushed
around. So the Blues want to suck someone into a fight. They're probably going to end up, you know, being better for it.
Right. They'll intently go after Marchand and try to bait him.
Yeah, credit to the Bruins has been that they've done a good job of not succumbing to a lot of the crap that the Blues have tried to drag them down into. And, believe it or not, Brad Marchand has been well-behaved in this series.
Yes.
He has. And you know what? You don't get credit for being well-behaved, but in his case, you do, because he's got such a history of being such a knucklehead that he does. He gets credit. He has not pulled any of his nonsense in this series. He's steered clear of all that stuff. In fact, he's been the opposite. He's been someone that has been pulling younger players out of the scrums and has tried to keep the peace out there. He has. He's looked like a veteran leader all of a sudden.
But I think they've had you're right, they need to show discipline, but I think they've had just about enough as well. And not liking the way their guy, you know, that Berube, after the third game, says, hey, what's going on, all these penalties, 17 in three games. And then the first period of game four, no penalties. I mean, that didn't play well in the Boston room either.
Rob is in Holland today. Rob.
Hi, guys. Beatles, though.
Hi.
And listen, you guys got a lot of really good points as far as the thing, but, you know, where I'm at with this, and I'm kind of disappointed where, you know, the toughness, we're two games wins away from winning the Stanley Cup. Virtually, if you think about it, Chara could retire if he finishes on top. You know, this is a game, look at Bergeron, broken ribs, punctured lung. That's a leader. I think if he ends up making coming out of this and coming out in his jersey, out on the ice, that place is going to go absolutely bananas. And I think that's what's really going to put us over the top. Everything else, you know, that top line will start scoring and feeding off that ambition. Seeing him sitting on the bench, there's no way. I don't think it's going to give them the boost that they're going to need.
I mean, your tone suggests, Rob, that you're questioning Zdeno Chara's willingness to want to play through this thing. And I wouldn't do
ridiculous.
That. I wouldn't do that.
I mean, I don't. You know,
because if you're leaving it up to him, he will play.
Yeah.
Simply put.
Not a guy we can put into that category, there's any question.
Not someone I would put
if he's not out there, he can't be out there.
Yes.
Not only would I not, you know, question his toughness on this matter, but the, like, how long is that going to last? Oh, the crowd's going to go nuts when they see Chara out there. That lasts
7 seconds.
Yeah, 3 minutes of the first period. After that, you know, what if he can't play to his, you know, full potential?
Right, what if he's ineffective and you're better off? What if he's at 30% of what he typically is and you're better off with bringing Steve Kampfer out onto the ice instead? You know what I mean?
Right.
What if that's a better option for the team in terms of actually going out and playing defense?
The crowd will love it. The crowd will love
a crowd
lot of
nuts.
A crowd would love a fight, too, like Dan said. I would love that. It would be great to see a fight. It's going to help you? It's going to help you?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what. Make Shara the banner captain.
Yeah, you better make sure you get the right banner captain, because they're going to go crazy when they see that flag.
It's Tom Brady.
The ring party's tomorrow night.
Oh, you're kidding.
Nope. Yeah, there won't be a Patriot.
Won't be a Patriot.
David Ortiz.
Yeah. Did it already.
Dan the baseball guy.
I didn't know. There's a ring party tomorrow.
Yeah.
Think they'll have the game on?
Sure. Absolutely. Big screen TVs. Yeah, they'll pipe it in. A nice backyard.
Dan's disappointed.
Nice backyard.
He could come over and be the ring, you know, the banner captain.
He's been.
We'll get back to your calls after this. 617-779-0985. It's time for the action update with the guys in the desert.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Le Marchand, il est joué à la Sud-Vicentia. Allons-y d'abord, folks. Allons-y d'abord.
I was good for a day, and now it's back.
Oh, man.
You son of a... You know,
it's so good.
Now we have the whole song.
You need the creepy dude with the puppet face and his long hands, his fingers.
Hello. Look at me, little bear.
Dan has no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah,
most people
should.
Don't. Came up in some random Twitter search of
It's actually Martian. Better with the French words.
Yeah.
Mixed in.
No news.
No, no. Hey, say hello.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. Why don't we jump back to your calls? Get some Red Sox thoughts I want to hit on with Dan.
Oh, good.
Before we get to Dan's dates as well, coming up at 12:50. Let's go to Paulie in the truck. Paulie.
Hey, what do you say, boys?
Hey.
Danny, nice to talk to you, Danny. Hey, haven't spoken to you in a while.
How you doing?
I want to get back to a couple of things I was talking about yesterday, Brad and Zoll. I still want Coleman in the lineup. You gotta leave the six, go with six defensemen, though, and 12 forwards. Looks like Greslick's going to be back. So that makes that seventh defenseman a moot point anyway. Greslick is coming back. You can count on it. It's that one in stone. Now, I believe I'm going to back off and sending Backus up to the ninth floor. But for the life of me, I can't understand why in the first place he's on the second line if people are constantly talking about sending him up to the ninth floor. Answer is, he doesn't belong on the second line. You got to move him to the third line. He would be matched up better with Coyle and Johansson, three veterans. He could really, him and Coyle, they'll do a lot. All three of them will do dirty work. But Coleman is a guy, you need more speed on that second line. Him, Krejci, and DeBrusk were a good line against Toronto. You move the kid, the kid's explosive. He's got great speed. You try to get him the puck in his own zone or throw, get him open, get his feet moving, get him the puck. He's quite explosive. He's got great speed, great moves. He's a guy that can get that defense back it up. He can get the puck in low and then or to the net or down deep. And bring it out front. Get it out front.
I'm in a groove now.
Yeah.
Funky.
Yeah, I'm in a better mood. Thanks for the call. Thank you for the call.
He was happy to talk to you, Dan. He hasn't talked to you in a while.
He hasn't talked to you in
you
some
lucky
time.
Lucky bastard.
It's good to hear that stuff.
Bill is in New Hampshire. Hi, Bill. Bill's not there. Ryan's in the Seaport. Ryan.
Nice.
There's only one man for the job for the banner. That's Scott Zolak, baby. Let's go, Zolak.
All right, then. Howard in Amesbury.
I'm not going again.
Hi, Howard.
It's a pleasure to be on with Dan, and I've never been on with Dan. And I saw the 86 Celtics thing that you were on, and that was really cool. But to the Bruins, you guys made a lot of great points. And you look at those games, especially the last one, two goals were like the same exact goal. Guy coming off the bench and getting the rebound. Tarasenko and O'Reilly's goal were basically the same. Nobody picked up a man. The Bruins are a better team than these guys, but they – St. Louis is beating the hell out of them, and they can't really score unless they, get a cheap goal or something. And I think you were right, Beetle, about the hits. Berube, he makes some comments about the refs and everything. He cries, and then all of a sudden the refs' whistles are in the pocket for most of that game. And I saw a couple of hits that, looked real bad. But I think you're right. The Bruins, if they get quick again, because they didn't look quick the other night. They looked slow.
No, and they've got the extra day, which helps with the speed, helps with the legs. You feel a little fresher, and you've got rotating, as Billy Jaffe said yesterday. You've got the officials that are rotating game to game, and on top of that, not sure if you heard it yesterday, Howard. Dan, not sure if you heard this, but did you hear the head coach of the Bruins, Bruce Cassidy, on the officials yesterday? Did you hear him?
Did he say it yesterday or the day before?
He said it yesterday.
No, I didn't hear it yesterday.
Okay, why don't you have a listen to this? He had a comment yesterday about how he hopes the games are officiated going forward in this series, and he also commented on how things were sort of officiated in Game 4, but he did it in such an amazing, smooth way. He sort of aired his complaints without sounding so harsh in doing it. Here he is.
Just what do you think of the officiating last night? Do you think your counterparts talking about it had any effect on the fact you didn't get any calls?
Well, I found it interesting that I I fully expect. I mean, they got the best refs. They go through the process like teams do, right? They get evaluated, and they're here because they've been the best throughout. So I would expect that they wouldn't get baited into somebody's comments. They should be better than that if they did. I certainly didn't expect them to. They should have a degree of professionalism, call the calls they see. That's why the night before I found it odd. I mean, we killed five power plays. We scored on our four. One was in the last minute, so it's inconsequential. One was on them that they got called for. So it wasn't an infraction. They got called for a bench minor for a challenge of an offside. So really, there's a couple that they could look at that affected the game. I think one in the first period, one in the second. So I think it was a bit of a ruse. And like I said, hopefully they didn't get caught up into it. Going into last night, the call on Clifton was a head scratcher. Tarasenko went to reverse hit him, and I don't think there was any contact to the head at all, other than his own head, maybe him leading with it. So I don't know where that call came from. That's the only one I was unhappy with. There's always some that let go, Steve, either way, that they could call. So it's hard to nitpick through everyone. So that's my thought on that. At the end of the day, we didn't play well enough to win. We know that. We killed the penalties that we were called on and scored on a shorthanded goal. So none of them really cost us at the end of the day. We would like to get on the power play a few more times. So that's going to be the onus going to be on us to work for the calls in Game 5. Simple as that.
Pretty good stuff.
Good edgy stuff.
Really, it is. And then he even throws in little things there.
Yeah.
I'd hope that they'd be more, they'd be professional enough to not let that, if they did.
Yeah, he's very.
If it did impact.
Very passive aggressive.
Yeah, oh, it's awesome. It's really good.
He did handle it
really
well.
Smooth. If it
I'm
going
to call you unprofessional with actually.
I'm not saying it did play a factor. I'm saying if it did play a factor, I would hope that they'd be more professional than that.
Yeah. Covering all
meaning you're unprofessional.
Yeah. Oh, he covered them all.
He's getting his message across without getting fined.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. I'd hope that they just call it the way that they'd see it and not let some of those comments. I found it interesting. It's great. So I think that's it. You leave it at that, and you go into the next game, and you hope for better results, because some of those calls and non-calls, which, again, you can't just look at how many power plays were there, because that doesn't tell you the whole story.
Yep.
It's about non-calls that happen as well and sort of how they decide what's getting called and what isn't getting called in the game. Someone who wants to go by the chauffeur on the road.
Oh,
is up next. Yes, sir.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Good. You?
Good. It's going to be Terry O'Reilly tomorrow night.
with the flag.
So
is that institutional knowledge?
This is inside knowledge you have?
Yeah, but I'm not saying the company I work for, though.
Okay.
Oh, so you're driving around now?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a 5 o'clock pickup.
All right.
They want to get tough.
Wait, so how do you know he's not just going to the game, that you have, that he's the banner captain?
Well, he's the banner captain. Put your money on it.
Okay.
Well, right. Did they request a car big enough to hold the banner? Because I think they keep the banner there at the Garden.
No, they hired those two guys that found their banners that the Red Sox lost.
I thought the same thing.
I mean, they have an alumni suite at the Garden that typically houses a number of big-name Bruins alums. You know, Johnny Pusick is always there, and Terry O'Reilly is often there, and guys like Derek Sanderson.
Bobby Orr's going to be there.
You know what's cool? Bobby Orr. I mean, you always see these guys wandering around the building.
Bork.
I mean, those guys are always
Bobby Sweeney, all those guys.
But the chauffeur is saying that Terry O'Reilly is going to be the one waving the banner, which is...
I would say that his company would probably work for the Bruins, and nice, he's been told.
It's nice, but if he's alone and it's just Terry O'Reilly by himself... That is uninspiring, is what I would say.
I like Terry O'Reilly. But,
nothing wrong with liking Terry O'Reilly. Yeah, everyone likes Terry O'Reilly.
People want the outside-the-box waiver.
I'm just saying that when you're talking, you know, that you've already had Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
And you've had Bill Belichick.
What's cool is you get to keep the flag.
I mean, who's next? I mean, you got to go
How do you top that?
You got to top
it's Brady.
This could be your last
home
game.
He's like, you know, Brady.
Could be your last
Tell you what, Brady being around for game 7. If it makes it. Dan thinks his thing's going
Like, if you're talking about a group of Bruins, you know, all-time guys,
then
I think you're on to something.
You want people to go nuts tomorrow? Go find Tim Thomas. Go get him out of his bunker. Place to go nuts.
They could just set up a Skype and have him wave it from within his bunker.
Or just sit there with a paintball mask
on. I'd be careful treading on his property line.
All the cans of food behind him.
Yeah. What's that big water thing? Speaking of behind you, you have something behind you over your right shoulder. It looks orange and is that orange and blue? What the hell? Something's hanging off your top shelf behind you your shelf back there. What is that thing? Looks like a toy.
It's hanging. Oh.
It's been driving
to the
nuts.
Edge of the screen?
Above his golf bag.
I know what it is.
What is that?
You want me to
grab
it?
Is that a sprinkler?
Hold on, I'll grab
it. Yeah. That's going to bug me all day until you grab that.
Putting us on hold. This would be great hold music, wouldn't it?
Oh, look at this. Is that the Jackhammer 4000?
This is a
toy saxophone.
Kawasaki Saxaboom.
Can you play it?
Which was used in a performance by Jack Black of Tenacious D. And it's autographed.
I want one of those.
Yeah, it's autographed right there.
That is
Jables. It says, as in Jack Black, and then Kyle Gass, the other member of Tenacious D, autographed the other side of it.
Yeah, do us a favor. When we play the music, why don't you put that up to your mouth and pretend to be playing?
We're going to play the music.
Ready?
Here we go.
I think I took the batteries out of it.
Doesn't matter.
No. We don't need you to actually play it.
Put it in your mouth.
Pretend to play it.
Put it in your mouth.
Okay? All right? So
go ahead.
That was not planned.
Right.
That was not on the show prep.
You ready for your headline? That is excellent.
Organic moment.
Artie has headlines. We talk socks with Dan Shaughnessy briefly coming up next, and we've got Dan's dates at 12:50. That is just a short time from now. Artie on remote is fun. Here he is with the headlines.
I like it.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Dan, you like this?
Get that Kawasaki back out there, Howie. Hardy, get it going.
Come on, Hardy.
Hardy.
Here we go.
Start jamming away, baby. Oh, yeah.
This is sunglasses. This is permanent.
Love that thing.
This is going to be permanent.
Oh, man, that thing is great. That thing is awesome.
Yes.
Dan Shaughnessy is with us. Dan, Chris Sale's got one win on this season.
Okay.
How's that going for him?
You know, we all love Chris Sale.
Do we?
You know, stand-up guy, accountable, all the stuff. He's got to win. He's got to get credit for the win tonight, please. He has won one of his last 16 regular season starts.
See, you're going back. I know. You're the only one doing this.
August 12th.
This is good.
This is your guy. $30 million a year. Man's man, stand-up guy, the gunslinger. Ooh, those strikeouts. You know, I'm watching the other night. He strikes out three in the third or fourth. He had three strikeouts, four hits, three runs, and the lead. Gave them all up. But three strikeouts. Stop talking about the strikeouts.
He's got 98 of them.
Nobody cares.
He's closing in on 100 strikeouts.
What are you trying for? This is baseball.
They
is
didn't
baseball
win the game.
Where we've devalued the strikeout?
Oh, this is so inflation. It's ridiculous. It's like three dunks in a quarter.
You know, yeah, people are mad.
His run support has not been good.
I understand that.
His run support has not been good. And we don't. I mean, listen, wins are not everything. And wins
they're
are
not everything.
Wins are not but all that just, important, right?
Can you get a win against the Kansas City bleeping Royals tonight, please?
Bad team.
I mean, again, I know he's pitched better than his record indicates, but he needs to win some games. And you can't, there's no excuse for not winning a game lasting six or seven innings against these bumps and leaving with a lead in which your team wins the game.
And his last starts, he's held opponents to a batting average of 169.
How does he never win a game? He gave up a lead again.
Right?
He had the lead in New York, gave it right
and
back.
And this is where I say it doesn't tell you the entire story, though, right? Because he struck guys out. His strikeouts are good.
The batting average,
you know, 169 is good. The ERA, 3.34.
Which is not great.
Which is not great. It's
okay.
And look at that and say, still allowing some runs, though.
He gave up four runs and six innings in New York.
And he gave up the lead.
Yeah, gave up four runs and six innings and the lead. And it's all about, no run support. No,
and to me,
he needs to win that game 1-0, okay? Beat Chris Sale.
And wins are deceiving for obvious reasons, depending on your run support or what team you're pitching for. But you know what? In a lot of ways, runs can be a situational stat, right? Whether or not you get a win on a given night. Did you pitch to the situation? Did you pitch to, you know, and that's why you don't just look at wins. But in a vacuum of a given night, you know, did you hold on to a lead?
He had the lead in New York.
Did you affect
gave
the
it
game?
Right back.
Did you affect the game? It's like looking at a quarterback that throws for over 300 yards at 350 like the Ryan Tannehill stat. Oh, we're progressively
just
getting better.
Time to
when
get a win.
When you lose.
And this could not be easier. The bum Royals tonight. I'm sorry. You saw that.
I'd rather him strike out less people.
Oh, God, yes.
Get through six innings and win a game 4-1.
Yeah. Just get a win.
But pitch to contact to where the ball's in play, and you know, at least they're fielding it.
This game tonight should be a lock for them.
You would hope, but nothing has been a given with this team.
So what if he loses
nothing,
tonight?
Dan?
What if he gets hit tonight?
No one knows. We're talking about the Bruins. But he won't get hit. He won't
but there's no game on tonight, Dan. Sort of, last night and today, they got a chance to sort of take the stage again here.
Well,
you're getting to the point when the Bruins are done. What are we going to be saying about this baseball team? Now, they picked up another game. Both teams lost out of them.
Yeah.
Which is good. So, I mean, you got that going for you.
Yeah, they're two games over 500.
It wasn't a disaster in New York. Right. You end up getting that game, which, okay, you didn't lose too much ground.
Dan, if you were looking at the game for the Red Sox last night, if you're looking at how they went about winning over the Royals, what would you point to in terms of how they went about winning that game? Because when I look at the game, I say,
score 8 runs, you should win.
Mookie Betts hitting a double, and then J.D. Martinez hitting a triple, and all of a sudden the Red Sox putting some runs on the board with Rafael Devers working a walk and Xander Bogaerts putting together a sac fly and getting to the bullpen in the late innings and top of the sixth. You know, the Red Sox trying to break it open. That, to me, is okay. You know, you're a good lineup, and then all of a sudden you get to a bullpen, you're going to do some damage.
You're taking care of business against the Royals. That's what you did. Do what you're supposed to do.
I don't understand things like this headline today, and it's just one of many. Peter Abraham, Boston Globe. Hey, sorry, I just got to pick on your colleague. I know you do. A perfect throw by Jackie Bradley Jr. provided the spark the Red Sox needed. If it's not his reworked swing, and last week we read about Alex Speer telling us last week about how the swing it had come around, right? Forget all the offseason work that he had done. But now it was last night they won the game because of that throw that he made.
Yeah, the day the swing had
the Red Sox had a the Red Sox had only two hits through five innings against Kansas City on Tuesday night and trailed 2-0 despite hitting a few balls hard. Then the Royals made a 90-foot mistake. Billy Hamilton was on first base with one out in the bottom of the inning when Whit Merrifield hit a fly ball to the gap in right. The ball hung up long enough for either Jackie Bradley Jr. or Mookie Betts to make the catch, and it was Bradley who called for it about 20 feet in front of the warning track. It was just a routine play until Hamilton tagged up and took off for second base. I didn't think he would go. I thought he would fake it, shortstop Xander Bogaerts said. This is like the most dramatic thing ever. A freaking catch and throw. Oh, my God.
Well,
Jackie made a perfect throw, Bogaerts said. What you'd expect.
Right. And, you know, we write a lot of columns in the course of a year, and you know, you're scuffling for ideas and things like that. So
the throw.
There's effort on the part of the people who cover the team. They love Jackie Bradley Jr. And, I mean, it's like.
Why? Because he talks to him?
I don't know. I mean, again, he's a nice guy, but he is hitting, I think, 186. The day we talked about the swing being all better, he struck out three times and Nunez pinch hit.
Can you believe this? This story reads, after Bradley's catch and throw, the Red Sox scored three runs in a span of four batters. We're drawing a line from A to B. The catch made them go to the plate and score three runs in four batters? That is a reach of all reaches right there. We're now giving Jackie Bradley Jr. credit for the offense of the rest of the team.
You're going to look back.
Because
buddy.
Of a catch and throw he made in the field. If there is not a desire on the part of the people that cover this team to prop up this player, there's no better evidence than this story today. This is a joke.
When the story's told.
I get it. Good catch, good throw, great defensive
not
play.
Not going to sit here
No one has ever
guy.
Criticized when? This guy's defense.
You know
ever.
What?
No one's ever criticized his defense. But now we're going to, because he can't hit, now we're going to take his defense and say,
how's it
his
impact
defense,
the game? How's it impact the scores?
His defense actually leads to other players going out and hitting.
Yeah, because your offense
it's
got
such
up after
an
that.
Emotional boost.
Come on, Beetle.
That JD Martinez and Mookie Betts hits doubles and JD Martinez hits triples because of the catches that Jackie Bradley Jr. makes.
I think you're being a little harsh here, Beetle.
In what way?
I think your colleagues are high, is what I think they are. They drug tested the Globe?
I'm not going to sit here and let you bash the Globe. No, don't.
You just let me do it. What's your defense of that?
I will say, in general, there's an effort that the people that are around the team a lot, they love JBJ, and I think he gets a free pass.
All right,
pass.
So you agree.
I think he gets a free pass
agree.
A lot. And again, he needs to be if he's going to be an everyday Major League player, he's got to hit 200. So
does he hit 200?
No.
What's he hitting now? You know the number?
With the refined swing, I think he's up to 186. He was 0-for-4 last night.
Well, I thought he had found himself last week in the cage.
After he found himself, he
turned the corner.
After he had found himself last offseason
with
the swing coach.
Punched out three times.
Does he still do that double step, Beetle? One with the double toe tap?
I don't know. I don't know if it's not working. He's still not at the Mendoza line yet.
Where's his launch angles?
Oh, my God.
He did it to 28%.
Talk about propping a guy up.
Get the cookie zone? Get the cookie zone?
He's only 29 years old.
What's his exit velocity going to be when he's 34?
You've got to be kidding me. Huh? With that, Pete.
What's his war, Dan?
The catch now led to them going out and scoring
runs.
See,
Bill, you understand. When you get three outs, the other team gets the bat. So when you throw that guy out, your big bats get up.
Oh, my God.
So when the story's told at the end of the year, the 2019 team, and a repeat year, the Jackie Bradley catch
Jackie
and
Bradley,
throw.
Jackie Bradley Jr. should cut checks to Pete Abe and Alex Spear. And he should pay them for the kind of PR work they do for him. The kind of work that they do for Jackie Bradley Jr.
We're going to have to walk out.
That 100?
Oh, he's going to walk out. We're not going to get
the 100.
Leave my guys.
Already start getting your dates together. Dan's going to walk out.
The newsletter there, the 108 stitches there every day.
Leave my guys alone.
Is that what it is?
Not be That's part the name of
it. Right? Hey, Jim, play some of that
music.
Getting
well
stitches.
Under 100.
Where did you get that?
Broadcast.
That newsletter every day. They should rename it as we honor Jackie Bradley Jr. Daily, the JBJ Daily Newsletter. That's what it should be.
He'll get up to 200 one of these days.
Oh, God.
He's on the cusp.
His catches lead to instant offense. Wow, that's a new one. Yeah. That's a new take on JBJ.
Wait, when did X start saying that? Then they're all on a freaking take.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, Dan's dates coming up next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
Dapper Dan.
Okay, time for Dan's dates. It is June the 5th. Dan is ready to go for this date in history. What do you got for us, Dan?
June the 5th. Okay. People that were born on June the 5th, we have to start at the top. Happy birthday, Bob Kraft.
All right.
That, huh?
RKK's birthday.
RKK.
Yep. 78 years old today. Bob Kraft, hats off to you. Freddie Stone of Sly and the Family Stone is 72 today.
Okay.
In the spirit of some of your earlier music, Kenny G is 63 today.
No, that's not Kenny G.
That's Paulie's music.
You guys know Jeff from Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
Jeff's birthday is today. He is 57. Marky Mark. Birthday.
Ooh.
How old? He's ripped. He's got the six.
I'm going 49.
I was going to say 49. So.
He's 48 years old today. Marky Mark.
Nice one, Hardy.
And the Funky Bunch. I wonder how old they are.
Feel it. Feel it. Feel the vibration.
Red Auerbach was married on this date in 1941.
But he had a cigar that night.
I bet he did. John Carlos of statue fame with Tommy Smith, the Olympics, 1968, Mexico City, holding up the clenched fist. He is 74 years old today. Stuff that happened.
Stuff.
On June 5th. In 1917, 10 million American men between the ages of 21 and 31 registered for the draft. In 1947, Secretary of State George Marshall gave a speech at Harvard, in which he outlined an aid program for Europe, became known as the Marshall Plan. So I'm guessing the Marshall Plan was unveiled at Harvard graduation in 1947. Mm. That's pretty cool. In 1950, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down racially segregated railroad dining cars on this date. The 1967 Six-Day War in the Middle East erupted on this date, June 5th. That was a biggie, big deal. You're way too young for that. In 1981, the Centers for Disease Control reported five homosexuals in Los Angeles had come down with a rare kind of pneumonia. They were the first recognized cases of AIDS. In 2004, Ronald Reagan died, 40th president of the U.S. Last year, Kate Spade died on this date, June 5th.
Oh, my God, that's right. She took her life.
On this date in 1974, Reggie Jackson got into a fight with Billy North, Oakland A's. They were three-time world champions. It's always a small clubhouse.
If Reggie Jackson didn't hit 200, but he was good at catching the ball and throwing people out, would you say that that's a hell of a game changer right there?
We're not
and
going
that's why
back
they
there.
Scored runs?
But the baseball brawls are always in small clubhouses, which is Detroit. So always look out for those kinds of things. On this date in 2008, Kevin Youkilis.
Youk!
Was slapped by Manny Ramirez.
For throwing his helmet.
In the dugout. Remember that? And something else happened.
How many times did he have to have one of those tirades, those dugout tirades where he just did that stomping?
Well, it was weird because Manny was gone a month later. I mean, he started his acting out. That's when he knocked over Jack McCarthy, Jack
McCormick.
And then it just, you know, Manny shot himself out of town. But things were starting to happen right there.
When did he poo in Seattle all over the hotel room? Was that,
well, I don't know
he
about
was
that.
Here? Yeah.
That's been established.
Oh.
On the same night that Uke got into it with Manny in the dugout, the Boston Celtics defeated the Los Angeles Lakers 98-88 in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. In that game, what is that game known for?
Who got hurt?
Yep. Leads to that.
Parker, right?
Better. Paul Pierce in a wheelchair.
Oh, that one.
That's the night.
Oh, he got Miyagi'd.
Yeah.
He got Miyagi'd.
Yeah.
Take him in the back. Show him Mr. Miyagi. Let's get him back out there.
That was on this date.
Oh, meet me inside Danielson.
So that's 11 years ago now. Now, we have two big ones here. 1968, Robert F. Kennedy shot and mortally wounded after claiming victory in the California
Democratic
primary.
Seems like you just did that one.
Well, last week we talked about Bobby Kennedy had lost the Oregon primary on this day, so it was a week earlier.
Gotcha.
He was the first Kennedy to lose an election. And then, of course, he won the election in California and was shot. He did not actually die on this date. He was mortally wounded on this date because there was...
Happened late at night.
He lingered, and he was not pronounced dead until June 6th.
Right.
Now, June 6th is, of course, this takes us back to 1944. And on this date, all of our guys and our allied guys were getting ready for the next day's, greatest generation, greatest, just the landing at Normandy is tomorrow. But you can be sure in this
Belichick narrated documentary on that.
I've got it, yeah. It's got to be great.
They said he sat there for hours with just a cup of Diet Coke next to him, sipping on it and talking about it.
Oh, my God. What a thing. So, anyway, that's June 5th in Dan's dates. That's what I got.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hardy, did you have anything?
I got one.
Okay.
On this date in the year of our Lord, 1956, Elvis Presley appeared on the Milton Berle Show. Milton Berle.
Oh, boy.
Another hung man.
You know, would put John Hamm to shame in certain categories.
Apparently, Joe DiMaggio as well.
They say Uncle Milty. They say Uncle Milty. Just legendary.
What's his nickname? Horse?
Tripod.
I gotta go.
He went on and performed Hound Dog on the Milton Berle Show.
Bet he did.
Yes, he did.
You ain't nothing but a hound.
You know who Duff Cooley is, Dan?
I do not.
He was a Pirates first baseman.
What?
Had only two putouts in a 6-5 loss to the Phillies at the Baker Bowl. The left-handed swinging Texan patrolled mostly in the outfield, but played all positions, becoming one of the baseball's first utility players.
Is that Forbes Field?
No. No, that was the Baker Bowl.
Oh.
Wow.
There we go. That's all I
got. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Next Tuesday, I'll see you guys after Game 6 when I come back from St. Louis. Will it be over, or are we going to be teeing it up for Game 7?
That's a hell of a tease right there. Will it be over, or we'll be teeing it up for Game 7?
I don't know, Dan. We'll find out. All right.
When would Game 7 be? Tuesday? Right,
thanks to you, Dan Shaughnessy.
Yeah.
We'll be back with the fourth
Wednesday.
And final hour. If you were watching on this show on television today, our friends at NBC Sports Boston left our show to go to Danny Ainge, who had a press conference.
Yep.
We'll give you the best of.
Oh,
he said a couple
like
of things.
Good.
We didn't hear it live. We weren't listening to it. It's a lot of time to spend.
It's the first time he's talked since the end, and plus since
Danny Ainge.
Danny had his issue. Yeah,
yeah. But he talked about Kyrie.
Good.
Or did he go into detail? We'll find out right after this.
Stay tuned.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line MA.org.